This is professional radio, gentlemen.
And it's front wheel drive.
Scotty, have you got anyone you want to thank?
Just myself.
And now a doohy after hours.
Gentlemen, what would you go for?
Thanks to your sin, dude.
Okay, and because it's not a supercar.
But it is.
It's not.
Automotive perfection comes in the form of two letters, A and U.
Long live my LTD.
Welcome to Car Talk. It's Tuesday night here on 98.9 Northwest FM. It's me, Matty J, in studio with...
Alan. What's up? I'm not in charge today. The main man's in charge today.
So you're a bit more laid back, aren't you?
Yes, sir. I'm tucking it easy,
tucking it sleazy, as they say. And online with the father-son dynamic duo, Rob and Harley. How are you, gentlemen?
We're good.
Very, very good. We'll be joined by Scotty very shortly. He's returning a little bit late. How are you, fellas?
Good. Been busy on a weekend, going to car shows and a mechanic grand opening for a business, for Mechanic Workshop.
Very nice.
They used to run a Goodyear Tire and Auto store in Taylor's Lakes here, and they've basically gone out on their own so that they're not franchised anymore, but they still pretty much do the same thing. Hopefully we can get cheaper servicing done on our Fords because they're into their Mustangs and Volkswagens in particular.
Okay.
Yeah, so they know their Mustangs and Volkswagens, that's for sure.
Well, let's get straight into some car updates, gentlemen. We'll start with you, Rob, and Harley. Updates with you in your car space.
What have we got any updates, Harley? Like, apart from me putting my rock sliders on my little Jimny, we took your car in to get
fixed, the bumper bar fixed.
The bumper bar redone or replaced.
Yeah.
What else have we been doing? We're still shopping around for AMG GTs, but we still need to consolidate some of our cars. But you know that might happen, may or may not happen. So I'm not holding my breath for that one. It's pretty much it. I've been working on this little Honda thing. It's, how can I say it? It's a small car, big job.
Yeah, we'll get to that in a moment. But Harley, any ETA on the front bumper of your car?
Oh, I think it should take about 5 days. So I've been waiting like now 6 to 8 weeks already.
To actually book it in. So they've got the bumper bar there. So we dropped it off yesterday, so it should be done by the end of the week.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, nice.
And they're replacing a brand new bumper, right?
Yeah, brand new, genuine Mercedes bumper.
Oh, nice. Cool.
Apparently it's been repaired once before, so this time it's going to be all new.
Yep. Well, very good to hear. We are joined by Scotty Doe. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Very good, mate. Very good. We're just into car updates currently. Mr. Alan Beep Singh, updates with you.
I unfortunately don't have much to go on. Most of the cars are running as they should. The STI unfortunately got parked behind the house or behind the garage when we were having some solar panel work done. It's kind of stuck there now. like there's so much crap in the garage that I can't get it out. So basically I'm hoping to get that out in the next couple of days and actually take it for a drive because I took over a service right before I left for India. And that's been, at this point, 2 months? Mm-hmm. So.
Was the last time you drove it?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it has been a while. So I need to get back into that, give it a bit of a rip, get some fresh petrol in it, that sort of thing. Hopefully that'll happen, in the coming week. But apart from that, all the other cars are doing pretty fine. Yeah, as they should.
Sounds good. And Mr. Scotty Doe?
Me. I just bought some new wheel bearings for the Subaru.
Nice.
It is getting awfully loud now, so I thought I'd better do it. So I just bought it as like the whole hub assembly. It's easier than trying to push in and mess around with the bearing on its own. So I just bought it as a whole. Pretty good price. I didn't think it would be that expensive anyway for an old Subaru now. So I've got those coming. I'll chuck those in and it should get rid of that annoying, like a whining kind of noise or something. I don't know. I can't really explain it, but you know it when you hear it. Yeah. It gets worse, actually, turning the steering wheel too.
Yeah.
That's it. I got nothing else car update-wise. Pretty quiet.
I had few people look at the LTD on Sunday. Both said it drove quite well, but they're still thinking about it. I'm like, yep, that means you're not coming back. So,
pretty much.
So, yeah, that's still there. And look, I'm not asking, you know, expense a lot of money for it. I think what I'm asking is quite fair. And I think, you know, I've been honest and said it's not a show car. It's a very honest, original car. It's got, you know, tons of, you know, little dents and scratches here and there, but, you know, it's for the most part very, very good. So that was Sunday. Last week went to Rob's Fabrications, metalwork, electrical, engine,
firefighting,
to continue working on this little Honda Scamp. And Rob's doing a fantastic job just putting it out there with the metalwork repair. I definitely couldn't do anything like that. I'd probably, you know, just burn my car on fire, knowing my track record. So I would then. So then we started to tackle the brushes in the generator, but couldn't get it off because we needed a gear puller. And I went to work, and we don't have a gear puller that small. So I will have to kind of figure out what we're going to do. We might have to leave that one, Rob, and get someone else to kind of have a bit of a gander of it. But since I've left, Rob, how's it coming along? I'm going to have to come past and see it one night this week.
Well, haven't sort of progressed too much from the last time. I've just been tacking up the panel to make sure it's tacked right through. I still haven't grounded all the tack sections back down to level so I can actually then smoothen everything out and then paint it. So there's probably another, I know, 2 or 3 hours of solid work on it to get it to a point where we can put the bumper bar back on. But it's just a matter of getting stuck into it, just find a few spare minutes out of all our busy schedules to get out there. You know, so I had a bit of spare time. Like I said, I was going to do it on Sunday. I thought we might have been able to tackle it and we'll get stuck into it. But I end up doing the rock sliders on the Jimny. So that's another job out of the way for another car. So there's always something for us to do, isn't there? So
absolutely.
We'll get it done. We'll get it done.
Absolutely. That sounds good with that. Lasers is due for a service, so I gotta kind of do that. And I got this diff treatment from work, which I want to try in the F6 because I know the diff needs to get done at some point. But I want to see if this makes anything a little bit better.
Is it possibly by a brand called Penrite?
It is.
Yeah, a little tube thing that you squeeze.
Correct, yeah.
Apparently, I've heard some good things about that as well. Yeah. I want to throw some in the MX-5's diff because it does make a bit of a weird noise when you're trying to accelerate, I guess, from a lower speed. And I thought, you know, a lot of people have claimed that it's quieting down, you know, noisy diffs. So probably worth a shot.
It's not that my diff's noisy. I've read that it does work with noisy diffs. It's more got too much backlash, and that's just the pinion gear wearing out. It's kind of like when you put your foot in the clutch and take it off, like you have to take it really gently because you take it off just like a normal rate, it gets a bit of like a clunk when it's not the diff pushes or anything, like it's just the diff. I took it to, as I said, mentioned earlier, I took it to the Ford specialist and he's like, yeah, the diff. He's like, you can drive it like this for forever, but it's just going to be a little bit annoying. He's like, it won't get any worse. It's pretty much as bad as it's going to get. But he's like, to get rid of the problem, you're going to have to kind of, you know, give it a diff rebuild at some point. But he's like, nothing catastrophic. It'll go for another, you know, bazillion miles. Just it feels a bit more mechanical and a bit more clunky, whereas it should be quite smooth. So I know it's not going to work, but I'm going to try it anyway. Hopefully it just eases up that, you know, the backlash. And then go from there, really. We'll see how we go, but
it's always a difficult prospect, isn't it? When it's I guess it's more of a quality of life improvement versus a necessary repair. Like you can always be like, well, I don't need to do it. I would like to do it, but you know, when we're dealing in a world of, I guess, finite funds, like I could spend that money on something else that I actually need or repair I need. So it's always, if you can get it fixed before like a, or at least quite get it to a point where it's not annoying you as much, just with this kind of treatment, I think that'd be a pretty win-win situation.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, so I think just there's no harm in giving it a go. I don't think it's going to. I mean, it says it wouldn't affect it anyway. It says, you know, perfectly fine for, you know, you can do it during an oil change or without an oil change, just whack it in there. So gonna put that in there this weekend. Take the yeah, because it's gonna jack the rear end of it up, and you can kind of get your hand in there. I had a quick look the other day, so that'll be done this weekend to see if I can give it a bit of lease of life for the diff. But yeah, that's pretty much my car updates. Oh no, I went to drive the MR2, started it, and it's got a flat battery after driving it very, very, very lightly. So I didn't drive it in like 2 months. So I need to give it a good charge and give it a good run because I actually miss driving that car. But anyway, gentlemen, moving on to tonight's topic, which is, are modern cars or current cars brand new getting too expensive? Now, the reason why I'm bringing this point up is because you're looking at, I looked at the price of the Mustang Dark Horse in America, which we're actually going to get here, and they reckon it's going to be anywhere between $90,000 to $100,000 Australian, which is a lot of money for a Ford Mustang. That's not Shelby, you know, influenced. Civic Type R's are over 70 grand. You know, Jimny's, Rob, have gone through the roof. You know, do you think that modern, like current cars are getting too expensive, or is this the last chance to get like an affordable car? Like I think i30N and stuff is still quite affordable, but you're running out of time. So I was reading an article of things to buy now while you can, because they are a dying breed, like, you know, some in particular hot hatches like the Hyundai's collection, but running out of time. Gentlemen, I just wanted to get your thoughts as, do you think that the car industry, I mean, to be fair, we've had it pretty good in Australia, considering my Fiesta ST, which I purchased for, you know, 38 grand, you know, with everything I got with it, and considering overseas that same spec and everything in the UK is a $50,000 car. Do you think that we've had a good, or do you think we're just catching up, or do you think it's inflation, or do you think the car companies have been charging us too less and not making enough money because they haven't been keeping up with inflation?
You've got to look at the cars in England. I think it's comparative to wages. So it might be dearer if we look at it, if you convert it, but it might not necessarily be dearer for someone who's earning £50,000 a year compared to someone over here earning $60,000-$70,000 a year.
Yeah.
So you got to look at equivalent incomes as well, and the economy and cost of living. I know it's going to be higher, but Australia is one of the highest countries in the world for cost of living these days, from what I hear. So we're right up there. I think New South Wales is at the very, very top, or Sydney. You can't compare that, but the price of cars have gone up dramatically over the last 2 years in particular, and there's been no R&D, no real big investment in some of these cars. In some instances, like for your normal ICE motor type cars, your Golfs, they've actually taken stuff out of it. Your Mercedes, they've taken stuff out of it with the chip. So the car should be getting cheaper, not dearer.
Like, I just had a quick look now, because obviously, Matty, you mentioned, I guess, more higher-end model cars like the Type R and the Mustang Dark Horse. But even an i30 without any kind of dealer discounts, you're looking at 30 grand for the base model.
It used to be a $19,000 car.
Yeah. So just that's, you know, for the car that you're supposed to be like, this is the cheap one you get into, even that, like, you know, you're looking at considerably higher prices. I'd say definitely there is that feeling at the very least that they are getting more expensive and harder to get into.
So, Alan, like, when I bought the Fiesta, I think it was the cheapest car Ford sold. You know, and like, it was even like, I think it might have been pipped by a couple hundred bucks by the base model Puma, which is insane. Like, that's, you know, that's ridiculous that, you know, like a little small SUV is more expensive than a hot hatch. You know what I mean? Like, it made no sense to me. Also with the fact that you're getting a, you know, way more performance for the money. I don't know why they didn't sell, but. Yeah, I'm just really like curious, because like the last Type R was 50 something grand, like 55 or so, and now the next one's, you know, almost 20 grand more, which is a lot of, like, that's a massive increase. I just like, yeah, it's, you know, it's got back the title of the fastest car in the Nürburgring, fastest final drive car in the Nürburgring, etc. But I don't think it justifies 20 grand. So yeah, it's, I mean, how much is a new Jimny now? After you paid, Rob. So like,
I was told by the dealer their recommended retail is around 39 now.
And when you bought yours, recommended retail?
It was 34, mid 34s.
And change.
And I've actually got it for basically 34.3 with the option on the color, which is grade. White's actually about $500 or $600 cheaper, I think, okay, on recollection. So yeah, I could have got it for just under 34 if I would have got a white one.
So, and that's on the road.
On the road. Wow. And so, and 2 years prior to this, it was 29,
yeah.
Wow.
So like at that point, it's clear to see that the price increase is exceeding inflation values, right? Mm. If we were just to put it on inflation, that can't explain it at this point. Like that is what, if we're looking at it from 29 to 39, that's more than 20% jump. That's, yeah.
It's crazy. On top of that, the car, they've taken stuff out of that car as well. So apparently some of the models, overseas models, have speakers in the back, push to start. Yeah. And on top of that, they don't even have drink bottle holders in their door pockets. how like average a designer, they didn't even think the car through.
Which, yeah, I guess when you're getting in the 30s, like, well, I mean, for me, right, like, I remember a 30... like a high 30s, early, like 42 grand, you can get into like an XR6 Turbo 12 years ago. You know what I mean? Like and a nicely spec'd one too. You get into like a luxury pack XR6 Turbo. And I get that it's 12 years ago, but that's not that long ago. You know what I mean? Like that's, it's not like it's, you know, 30 years ago. And I just don't think like anything like that, like similar value to that now, you'd be looking at 100 grand. Like it's just, there's no, like that in an SS Commodore and stuff like that, there's just no, there's kind of no in between. And what I think's kind of jumbled the market is the SUV, because there's the SUVs for every, you know, every kind of, you know, size, and they've just come in and they're like, oh, well, SUVs are always going to be more expensive than a car that, you know, the car is based on. So, you know, our cars, we're not going to sell cars anymore, so we're going to start our car prices higher because they're SUVs. So, yeah.
And to top that off, the SUVs now aren't even real SUVs because a lot of them are only front wheel drive.
Correct. Yeah. Mm. Yeah. So I don't know. It's just kind of done my head in a little bit because I've been thinking about it. I'm like, how is it jumping this much? How are car prices jumping this much? And look, don't get me wrong, the new Dark Horse looks pretty sick and actually looks like a really cool car. And like I was looking at some of the options you can get, like the carbon wheels from the place in Geelong. It's a $12,000 option. You know, all this extra stuff. I'm like, oof. But once you put all, you know, like the high end Recaros in it and all that stuff, that's going to be $130,000 almost. Like it's going to be an expensive car when you top it out. Like you get everything. Get, I mean, like at the end of the day, it's a Ford Mustang, and $130,000. You know, 12 years ago was a C63. You know, $140,000. So, it's just, you know, boggles the mind as to how they can just justify the price. Like. I know expensive cars, like European cars, they can say, "Oh, well, you want to buy a European car, you got to pay for it," and they make their, you know, they make their good profits on them. But surely there has to be, like, they have to say, "Oh, well, this bubble of people just buying cars can't last forever. You know, this backlog of, you know, we can charge whatever we want because we don't have stock can't last forever."
It'll come to a point because people will stop buying, and then they're going to start trying to sell, and you'll have 0% finance and things like that. I can already see it in some of the leisure industry with jet skis and motorcycles. They're starting to give you real cheap finance. They're not trying to, and they're giving you $1,500 bonus incentives to buy it and things like that, or you know, 2% comparative rate finance and things like that, just to get you to buy that bike.
Well,
And it's only going to get worse. That they've actually, I think, shot themselves in their foot in what they did to us during COVID and held back and then bumped the prices up. To buy a trail bike these days, it's $18,000.
What?
Yeah.
Oof.
$18,000 for a KTM 300 or a 450. It was 17.9 something.
Or a motorbike.
for a motorbike.
Like a dirt bike, essentially.
Dirt bike, yeah. Something you're going to throw up against rocks and trees.
Jesus Christ. Like, again, you could buy coffee, exactly. You could borrow like a, you know, unfortunately, yeah, so,
not anymore.
But that's exactly, that's like car money, and you're expecting that for like a, as you said, Rob, like a leisure vehicle.
Mm.
That's pretty crazy. I was just going to mention that, like, even the 2021 Nissan 370Z price new was 64.5.
Like, what's the new Z?
Like 86 basically. So like a jump of 20 grand, yes, you've made a new model and obviously you made some improvements, but is it 20 grand more car? No, again, like I could have the old Z at a trail bike for that.
KTM 300.
So just, yes, so there is, like, obviously given the market still is, I guess, in adjustment and in the dealer's court right now still, I think it's that they're definitely taking advantage of that. And they go on to milk it as long as it kind of runs. And eventually, like you said, Rob, is like for the leisure equipment, you're kind of seeing that better deals on finance. You also see, hopefully, see the kind of the car deals as well, kind of, panic a bit and then, you know, straighten up and start, you know. Because right now, you go anywhere to try and book a car, they will just laugh you away. Like, we don't need it. Like, they're doing quite fine for now, but eventually there will be, you know, enough supply to the point where, you know, you're not making those deals every day and you have to actually sweeten the pot for somebody to come in and, you know, say, yes, I'll actually take it.
And you can already see this trend happening in the US. What dealers are doing, they're actually hiding their cars.
What?
I was on YouTube. So this Jeep dealership got like a Westfield car park, a multi-story. They hired out the whole top deck and parked all their Jeeps in the whole top deck of the Westfield.
Are you serious?
Yeah, there's like 150 Jeeps sitting there, like, and stuff like on F-Spot on YouTube. If you watch his video, he went through the whole car park, multi-story car park full of Dodges, and like they all got these dealer markups of 20, 30 grand on them, but they can't sell them.
Well, no wonder why then. No one's going to pay 20, 30 grand for markup for a Jeep. Like seriously.
Yeah, they had like 10 Hellcats sitting there, like brand new Hellcats full of dust, just sitting there in the car park, like Challenges and Charges. And it's like, oh, and then people go in there, like, oh, no, we can't get the car. We don't have the stock. You have to wait. They make them wait a few weeks. The car's sitting there in the car park. They do it here too. If you go down to Altona, all the car yards are full down there.
Yeah, they are.
It's just they've picked up on that, you know, causing a person to get that FOMO of like, oh, no, we really can't get it. We might be able to get you an allotment or allocation, you know, if you put a deposit down today, that sort of thing. I guess it really works for them. You know, just to get the person desperate, get the person to agree to a price that they probably shouldn't agree to, because, you know, like.
Well, I went to a dealership recently, and they, and you know, just having a look, and they're having a talk to me, and basically it was like, well, if you want this one, it's going to cost you know 20 grand more, but we're not selling it because this is our display car. But if you really wanted it, that's what we'd let it go for. And I'm like, what's the wait time? He's like, 2 years. I'm like, yeah, okay. So I was just like, you know, it's just insanity. Like, and you know, like, people who've got mortgages, people who've got other stuff, like they just want a car. But I was speaking to one of the ladies at work today, and I helped her change her brake light globe because she couldn't get the thing off, and it was bloody tough for me to get out. Damn Corollas. Anyway, basically we got talking, and she was like, her and her partner went to buy a brand new RAV4. And they're like, this is when RAV4s were like, you know, a year and a half wait. Now they're three. It's a 3 year wait on a RAV4 hybrid. Can you believe that? That's insane. Anyway, they're like, but you could upgrade into a Kluger 4 and you could get it within like less than half the time. And she's like, how is it? Why would I want to upgrade? You always spend all this money on a big car, you know, and wait half the time. But people are doing that because they just need a car at this point. You know, people cannot wait. So. Oh, I thought it had died down, but it hasn't. But you, like I was watching, and thanks to a good friend of the show, Reed from Harkon, he sent me the link to was it Lloyd's Auctions on Saturday. Everything was getting passed in, like everything. People were like asking, oh, you know, bazillion dollars for like Commodores and all that stuff. But everything was getting passed in, and. Because it was not meeting reserve, and it was like going for prices what they should be going for, like, you know, 3-4 years ago, how it should be. and they're expecting, you know, my BT1 VL Commodore should be worth $200,000, and it's not getting that, and they're getting pissed off and they're passing them in. So even with, even on the secondhand market, it's going a bit nuts. But I
think the smartest thing is for, like, a lot of people, unless you really, really are desperate, like you've maybe written off your car or something, it's just hold off. If you can book a car and wait that period, book it, wait it. Don't pay, you know, 10, 15 grand of a sticker. You're not going to get that back. Mm. It's just more money in the dealer's pocket, you know, like, and especially with interest rates and everything else rising, that 15 extra grand is going to really sting. So people will just hold on to your cars a little bit longer, keep them in good condition.
Wait it out.
Yeah, wait it out. And that's what at least a lot of people seem to be doing with the secondhand market, because, you know, if you buy whatever said Commodore for, you know, 10, 15 grand secondhand, way more than it's worth, it could be a couple of months before you can't sell it for that price anymore.
Well, a guy I know, he bought his car was one of his favorite cars, a VW Jetta, and it blew up essentially. And it's not even that old; it's like a 2012, and it was dead. Anyway, so they got, he's like, I just need a car. And he went to dealerships, and he's like, this is insane. Like, what they're charging for? He's like, look, I want a Toyota. I want it to be reliable. I don't want any VW junk. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, go for a Toyota. You know, go get a Camry. If you want to be sensible, if you don't care about driving, go get a Camry. So he walks into the dealership, and there's a Camry Hybrid there. It's a demo, and he takes it. He's like, oh yeah. He's like, this is nice. I'll you know, how much? And they're like, well, if you want one, you're going to be waiting. I think a year and a half. He said. He's like, okay. He's like, well, how much for this one? And it was a demo with like 4,000 or 5,000 K on it. And they're like, well, it's going to be more than one is brand new. He's like, but it's a demo and it's been used. He's like, no. He's like, if you need a car, if you're that desperate, you're going to pay it. And so he paid it. He paid, I think, $3,000 or $4,000 more than what the car was worth, because he just needed
it. He needs the car, yeah.
Yeah. And I'm like, dude, like, you know, he should have shopped around. He's like, dude, I was shopping around. He's like, that's all I could get.
Yeah.
It's just, yeah. So what were you going to say, Holly, earlier?
I was saying, like, I've been watching, like we look at AMG GTs. They're not selling. None of them are selling.
No.
They're sitting there, like, they put the prices down and up. You can see the price, they lower it, then they put it up a bit and lower it, the dealers and stuff, and people privately too. They can't sell them. The same ones have been sitting there for, like, 2 years, just going down in price. And, like, they can't sell them, but, yeah.
What's an AMG GT go for these days?
Well, the cheapest one on there...
Not brand new, because, like,
yeah. Yeah, you can't buy a brand new one anymore. Yeah. Anyway, from what I was looking at, like, say, for example, a 2016 one, it's going for about, like, 190.
Okay.
But where we looked in back in 2020, they were going for 145, 149.
Wow. Okay.
The same as C63s. The C63s back then were going for 70, 80 grand for, say, a sedan. Now sedans are going for 90 grand. For, like, a 205 C63.
Yeah. And the coupes were like 90, and now they're like 120. I had a look at recently.
Oh, no, they're going down again. They come down again too. The coupes, like the cheapest coupe, it was like high, has like 100,000 has like been the daily driver. They're going for about 92, 94 now.
Yeah.
And one, maybe like mine's going for like low 100, like 100, between 100 and 105, 110. Yeah. That's 70,000 K, isn't it?
Yeah.
But even like the guy I work with, he had a Nissan Tita. His wife had a Nissan Tita. He just got a brand new CX-30 Mazda, and he put the Nissan Tita. I put it on. He brought it to work. I took pictures of it. Roadworthy. It's like one owner since you had 100,000 Ks on it. There's an ugly Nissan Tita, so there. It's like one of the ugliest cars. I put it on car sales. He had about like 7-8 people calling him in the first few hours.
What?
For a Nissan Tita. So then, like, I put it off as like $7,900, and it was like a 2008 Nissan Tita.
And people went nuts.
Yeah. He sold it within the day.
Was it more expensive than the other ones that were on there, or?
Yeah, it was probably like in between the cheapest and the high ones.
Yeah.
Some dealers were asking like $9,000 from drive away. And he then like for $7,900 with the roadway. I think he sold it for some guy came 7.6 or something.
Okay.
Paid him, took $300 off.
Yeah, that's all right. He did well.
Yeah.
So people are still desperate for cars, but how long is it going to last for? Like, I don't know.
What I'm partly worried about is it's going to be a thing of like car companies overall will slow down manufacturing to the point where, because obviously it benefits them massively. Yeah, it benefits them massively just to keep like a drip feed of cars, because you know people are willing to pay. A lot of times, you'll find somebody eventually that's willing to pay that, you know, exorbitant price.
And that's what they'll do. They'll scale. So they'll scale the manufacturing, and then when workers down to the bare minimum to get the maximum output. So they find that there's a tipping point on manufacturing and selling the cars. So, you know, pumping out about millions of cars at a low margin, to them it's not profitable. What they want to do is pump out half that at a higher margin. Yeah.
But I think one of the best ways to probably disrupt that is if we get, it'll most likely end up being a Chinese brand that'll come in with as much volume as they can bring in.
Yeah.
And like the BYDs and everything else.
MG.
Yeah. Like they are the, unfortunately, the quality, some people would argue the quality's not there, but it is one of the only things kind of disrupting it a little bit. But they're willing to still kind of produce in good numbers and kind of provide people with the cars. And so when you see, like, again, new car sold amounts, the top of the list is usually, you know, something Chinese.
Can I add to that, though? The LDVs, the Great Walls, the GWMs and whatnot, Utes, and they were cheap at one stage, and now they've gone up.
They're not,
not cheap anymore. But even the MG3, when it first came out, was 14, like 490 or something. The MG3, now it's 19,490.
Yeah. It's because the i30 is 30 grand now. So,
but they're still gouging.
That's the best advice we can give. Just if you can wait, like put your name down. So you'd be also surprised in some cases, you might actually, the date they're giving you with the car in some cases is definitely legit. Other cases, you might get it a bit earlier.
Yes.
Yeah, it's just, again, it's especially if they've got stock that they can sell you now for an inflated price, they'll also try and scare you as much as they can.
Well, Mazda's really good because, like I said, the guy I bought, he sold his wife's, like, Kia and bought a brand new MX-30, CX-30, and he basically, like, ordered in last week in Jan, and he got it in the, basically, like, in April, first week in April.
That's actually pretty recent.
And through the whole process, like they sent him, like, tracking, it's in production, order received, in production, on the ship, like the whole way through, like he got, like, updated through an app type thing. And so maybe 3 months, like 3 months he waited for it.
What's the price point on the CX?
And he got the top of it, like, he got just the one underneath the top of the range, the touring one. I think he paid $42,940 for it, drive away.
It's not too bad.
Not too bad. Like, it's got the leather seats, the heads-up display and everything.
Yeah, they're a nice thing. I don't mind them.
Yeah, I was just taking in all your points. And I think it's just unlucky where we are in Australia. We're not a huge market. And it's easy to charge more because we'll just pay for it. We've got no other option. There's no other options for us here in Australia. If you want that car, then you pay for it. There's nothing else you can do about it other than not paying for it. But then if you don't, then someone else will just come in and do it anyway. So it's a bit of a lose-lose whether you want the car or not. Because even looking at, like, the Utes and stuff, you know, they're like 70, 80 grand. For tradie Utes is just ridiculous, seeing these Hiluxes and stuff. Why are they so expensive?
Yep.
They're not, you know... You're spending that kind of money on a car that you're beating around and just throwing tools in the back and cop dents and stuff is just ridiculous. That money is huge. And again, people are paying for it.
It's because it's a statement, like something like that. You know, oh, I'm a tradie, I'm going to be you. Like, my brother just got the latest Ranger Wildtrak, right? And yeah, and he reckons it's a great rig, but from what he paid considering to the other one, I'm like, it's not worth it. Like, it's just not worth it. Like, even what he paid for the original one was not worth it. Like, he paid 56 for the previous shape Wildtrak, and that was a few years ago before COVID. But the funny thing is, you could still sell it for the same money you paid for it with over 100,000 Ks on it, which is insane.
It's just ridiculous.
It's like, I honestly don't get the fascination with those big Utes. Like, I just, like, they are actually terrible to drive. You can't fit anything in them because, like, they're dual cab and they're, you know, the beds are really small. Like, they're, and they can't do much. They do.
Even ones that aren't dual cab, you still can't fit much in the back of them anymore.
Correct. Yeah. Like, you know, gone are the days where, like, you could fit, well, I remember we used to have a Holden Rodeo, like an old, you know, two-door Rodeo. And the tray was massive. I moved house in that car. Like, it was, like, the thing was on its ass, but, like, you could fit everything on that car. Anthony with his XL6 Turbo, you help me move it, put the fridge on there, put everything on there. You can't even put a fridge in a wild truck because it's got the roller door, which comes about almost midway to the edge of the tray. So you can't put the fridge back. You can't let the car lay down because it goes straight out at the back of the thing. Like, they are a pointless car. Everyone's just buying them, and everyone thinks that they're Michael Schumacher driving them. So it's just seriously though, right?
Yeah, no.
You're not wrong.
Butte drivers. Yeah. I say that as I've got my D-Max parked outside. I drive it.
What's the problem, Alan? Don't forget that.
I helped Mr. Berry ship a TV to his house today. All right? Don't you be telling me. What else would it be? We bought two plants.
Plants. Yeah. Putting plants in the back of a ute.
Yeah, they were 5-footers. Oh, two of them. Oh. All right, from Hello Hello Plants, on Saturday.
Was it Chris and Mario?
Yeah, it used to be Chris and Mario's, and now they got sued or something. No, I don't know. And now it's just Hello Hello Plants. But, I was doing a nice balmy 63Ks on the Hume Highway, which is an 80 zone. I was just like, I'm not going any faster. That's me plants in there, I use my ute as much as I can.
Well, how does it feel being a ute driver? How many cases on that ute road?
12,000.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
Jeez.
Yeah, definitely. 6 months, 12,000.
Not bad.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a workhorse.
Well, yeah, it's a workhorse.
It's a company car, mate.
But you get my point. They're like, they are a pointless car, and these companies, like, even the Great Walls are like, what? Like, Rob, Holly, how much did your dad spend on his one? Like, that was, it's not a cheap car anymore, like the great.
Yeah, well, his LDV he bought back then, I think he paid $28,000 for it, $28,900.
Okay, well, that's actually not bad.
That was a good price. That was a good price back then. But then the new model came out, before the new one came out. So that one had like only 110 kilowatts or 120 kilowatts, that one. The new one's got like 165 and they're up there. But then they bought them out, they're like 35,900 drive away. Then, like, they've gone up even more. They're almost like $40,000 now drive away. And but the old LDV that was before was like in 28,990 drive away.
Well, because like, Rob, you made money on that car, didn't you, when you sold it?
Not really, no.
Because he modified it. He shouldn't have done it up.
I would have got more money for it if I didn't touch it.
Yeah.
But by the time I threw a tow bar on it, the trade racks, the rooftop brackets for the rooftop tent, I put on awnings on the side and the back. Plus a roof rack as well on the front.
Change the tyres.
I changed the tyres on it, and I got everything back that I spent on it.
Okay.
I made, I reckon, $400, and I drove it for 6 months.
But that car, right, like, as a $35,000 car, like, okay, it's cheap. Like, I think the max those things should be is $50,000. Like the Rangers, the Hilux, max. Like an SR5, rugged, max $50,000. Okay, a Raptor's a bit more special. Okay, 65. But $90,000.
Yeah, my family friends booked one for 92, I think. And it's he's still got the mindset of, if I get a good price for it, I'll sell it. I'm like, that's half the problem as well. Yeah. People are like just speculating, and they speculating on cars. I'm like, that is a dangerous game to play. Mm-hmm. At least with a house, there's generally more utility. The market's always been, as we could have the, I guess, argument of, is housing technically as a commodity a good idea or not? But we're not going to get into the philosophical nature of it. But at least with a house, it's still a house. Overall, a house will appreciate just because of land and everything else. But a car in the regular market, as soon as you drive it off the lot, is going to depreciate on you.
Yeah.
We're just in, I guess, a bubble. Unique bubble time where that you will be able to sell it for roughly what you got paid for, or a little bit more in some cases. But you're running the risk at any time of that kind of popping on you. And do you want to be like, is he necessarily interested in the $92,000, Raptor? He's just a guy that, I think for work at least, I think he just drives some kids to school and whatnot.
Oh, mate,
it is employer's vehicle. So, does he need that Raptor? No, definitely not.
Does he need the Raptor? Yes.
Yeah, but at the same time, it's a kind of speculation of, I could sell for more, rather than like with the D-Max, I'm not fully justifying it, but for my parents at least, it's the car that once they retire as well, that'll be like their main workhorse or kind of car that they could possibly go caravanning in or something like that.
They're thinking long term.
Yeah, they intend on keeping that car for the next, hopefully, next 20, 30 years, hopefully, knock on wood, nothing happens. But that's their intention. And that's why they want a car that they can kind of rely on with that aspect. They can throw some stuff in the tray. They can tow with it, importantly. Because all we've, you know, well, I'm not going to tow with a Suzuki or, you know, the LPG Falcon. So that's at least the intention. But the whole idea of, like, speculating on it, it's a dangerous game to be playing.
But the amount of time you have to wait, too.
Oh, yeah. He's been waiting 2 years.
I spoke to someone on the weekend, like, they bought, like, a $9,500,000 Everest. It's a 2 year wait.
Yeah.
Like titanium, whatever it is, Everest. Right. It's a 2 year wait.
Like, they do nothing well, those cars. They're good off road. Don't get me wrong, they're great for like a Ranger, if you wrap the take it jumping, you know, both box shocks. I get it. On the road, I saw this one overtake me the other day, like one of those, that Cockery Gold car, whatever that one. And one, they sound like ass. That V6 turbo sounds terrible. And like, this is petrol turbo. It sounds like a complete ass, right? He's coming past me on Mickleham Road, around the roundabout where there's 7-Eleven, and I'm in the middle lane. Goes around me, the body roll on it. And so he's wah, and he's passing me, got up and down, like on this, I'm like they do nothing well. Why do people buy these? I get it. It's kind of a cool thing. It's like it can do jumpy and stuff. I get it, but $90,000? Come on, man. Like,
and the guy I speak to bought the order this Everest. He sold his territory for it. Like, he had a 350,000 kilometer territory, and he sold his now way 2 years for an Everest, and he's driving his like wife's old like titanium Focus around until he waits 2 years for his.
Just hold on to the territory and for the
support. Yeah, I guess
But within that 2 years, there's going to be an update model. So do you get that, or are you still?
Yeah, whatever that's available at the time. That's like even my friend at the moment. They just released a new GLE Mercedes update. And basically, they called him. They called him up and go like, "Oh, yeah, like your GLE 53 AMG is like basically like on like ready to be shipped." He goes, "Is it the new model? The new model's coming out in say September, yeah." He goes, "And you're like now you're like I've already waited a year." He goes, "I'd rather wait another 9 months to get the new facelift model with more power and more technology in it. Like why?" So, like, basically, he got it redone. So he goes, like, I'll sign it. And I was like, you keep the money, whatever. Like, but I want the first GLE 53 of the new shape to come out.
I think the other problem now is you're kind of touching on is car scalpers. People that are just buying them and then selling them for 15, 20 grand more just to try and make a profit. So the people that really want those cars and actually want to enjoy it are missing out. And that was evident with the 400Z. The Corollas, the GR Yaris's, Supra at one point when they started to come out then. All the same, they're just buying them. They've got no Ks on it. They don't want it. They're selling them straight away.
I can tell you, like the Mustang Club, multiple people have ordered 2 Dark Horses.
What?
Multiple people have ordered 2. And they're $120,000 each, drive away, and they've ordered 2 of them just to sell them.
Is that with?
Yeah. I reckon about 5. That's just a stock one Dark Horse, the Aussie spec drive away. It's $120,000.
It's $120,000.
$120,000 drive away. The normal GT now is $90,000.
Get out.
Yeah, the normal GT now is $90,000, and the Dark Horse is $120,000. That's what they said. And these people like they're in the Mustang, like they do all the parts and stuff. Yeah, and multiple people have ordered 2 of them to sell.
That and shouldn't be allowed.
You can't even buy a Mach-E. So they only released 8 in the country, apparently. 8.
For me, what's the point of offering a car if you can't sell it? You know what I mean? Like what is the actual point of that? Like, how does that even make any logical sense? Like, it's just
to get you in the showroom and be like, oh, how about we book you an Everest? It'll be here in 2 years. Here's $1,000, please. Thank you.
Hi, I'm here for a new Mustang. Oh, I can't get him, but there's an Everest.
And you're still waiting 2 years.
There's a transit van out the back.
I'm sure there's a Ranger kicking around sell you.
When I bought my Fiesta, I could have sold it for more than I paid. I could still sell it for what I paid for it, if not a little bit more. But I don't want to because I waited 8 months for the damn thing, and I enjoy it. I didn't buy it to sell it. I enjoyed it. I bought it to enjoy it, you know. And it really frustrates me how like there's you know, one of the dealers, but also the scalpers, which is like the next biggest issue when it comes to car. But and that should not be allowed. Like, you know, people should be like, no, I'm not paying that, and make these people that are stuck with a $90,000 hole, you're pocketing them, burning in the back pocket because
I have seen it start to happen.
Yeah,
there's like a guy trying
stuck
to sell
with those Commodores.
Yeah.
There's a guy trying to sell a 400Z and trying to sell it for a lot more, and he just got absolutely paid out. that he turned the comments off.
Yeah.
I could tell you when I bought the Suzuki, they wanted to make sure they had my license details because the dealer had to actually validate that I was a genuine buyer to Suzuki Japan.
Are you serious?
Suzuki, yeah. So,
really?
Because the dealers were buying these cars and selling them on as demos for an extra $8,000 to $10,000.
Oh, bastards.
So, right. So Suzuki was saying no.
We're Suzuki not put a stop to it straight away. Yeah.
Good.
Good on them. That's great. That's a good thing.
So it's happening, and Ford are pretty much doing the same thing with the Ford dealers because they're gouging in America.
Yeah.
Yeah, they were.
Yeah. So really they're trying to put a stop to it every way they can, but it's been a tough road.
Yeah, I'm really kind of worried about the new car industry because like there's some good cars that I would buy, that are new, but like a 3-year wait on a RAV4 hybrid that essentially is going to be the new model by the time you get it, and it's going to be probably up in price. Like I know a guy that's ordered something, and it's gone up already two times since he sent it on order, and the car still hasn't been built. You know, like it's at this point really getting out of hand. So
I just don't know how they're allowed to. Well, normal retail can't do any of this stuff, so why can they?
Yeah, correct. Yeah, it's because that it's. I don't know how the laws work with the automotive space. It just feels like it's a weird situation. Like they're kind of in their own bubble kind of thing. I mean, Rob, you bought and sold a lot of brand new cars and done that. Have you found that buying a new car has always been weird to them, let's say buying like a $10,000 TV?
In the past, it was great. There's no issues at all. Like I said, pre-COVID, it's a different world. Today, you take it or leave it. There's very little haggling. I would say at least 6 to 8 dealers for the Suzuki, as well as the Ford Transit that I bought, and they would not that much on price. If anything, they were gouging on prices, and the price that I paid for it was the legit recommended retail price that I paid for it. And all the other deals were asking above and beyond, and they wouldn't go below that above and beyond price.
I don't know how they can do that. If there's been release of the registered retail price, how are they allowed to charge that extra for it? I just don't understand. As you were saying, Maddie, it's like a whole new world.
Yeah, it's like there's recommended retail price. Is that for me? Is that the recommended what they should sell it at? Is that what they say RRP recommended retail price?
That's why it's recommended. Yeah,
that's a joke. I'm sorry, they should not be allowed to do that.
Mm.
At this point, like some of the Honda, you know, like the whole fixed price kind of stuff makes a little bit of sense, but like the Honda's solution is just charge a crap ton for the car ahead of time. So that, you know, again, like the tire bars, what, 73 and a half.
Yeah.
So it's just like, you know, it's gone from what, high 50s to 73. So it's just like, well, you know, no one's going to charge more than that, but you're already paying a crap ton more.
Yeah. I mean, it's like, I was looking at the new Type R and, you know, it's 72,600, I think. And then that's like on the road. Then you don't even get floor mats with the car. Like you have to order the floor mats and you have to get, and then you have to get all this extra stuff. And like there's a carbon fiber wing option, which is like $6,000 or something. $4,000 to $6,000. Insane. And I'm like, nobody's gonna pay that. Like nobody's gonna buy that. But you might get someone that does. Yeah, I'm really struggling with this whole, you know, recommended retail, because when I bought the Fiesta, I bought it at the recommended retail. I said to the guy, is there anything you could do? And he's like, no, this is the price. That is it. Like you can go anywhere else, they'll probably tell you more or the same price, but that's the only price you're gonna get.
And you just gotta hold your ground. You just have to hold your ground and walk away. That's all you have to do, you know. But people are desperate. Maybe, I don't know.
The thing is, like with buying that new car, they knew they had me because one, it didn't exist yet; it wasn't made. And if I wanted a new one, that's what it was going to be. Like it's just not going to happen. True, there was no secondhand stock around. And the reason why I went for new is because secondhand they were more expensive than they were brand new. So they knew they had me regardless. Like at that point, like there was no getting out of that purchase.
Yeah, like the only like again, I think we can push for is if you're going to get it, put your name down, put the deposit down, and wait.
Yeah.
Like don't be the person that's like, oh, you've got one here in the showroom, it's got 4,000 Ks on it, and you want $4,000 more than what the cost brand new. I'll pay it. Like again,
Yeah.
They'll do it again and again and again. Like, yes, you get your car early, but again, you've paid more for it and it's used. Like, you've lost in two kind of ways. Not that I'm saying that a used car is always a bad deal. It's just if the used car is $4,000 more than the brand new car, yes, it's a bad damn deal. Like,
yeah.
You know, demos do end up taking, you know, a bit of a boost. That's a fact.
Demos used to be...
Sorry, you lose out on warranty. Yeah, wear and tear for 4,000, 5,000 kilometers. So yeah. Even if you buy a 10,000, 15,000 kilometer car, you're still losing years in your warranty. So you're losing out and you're paying more. You just, if you can wait, like we said, wait.
And just demos wait. Get thrashed the balls out of them. Like they, I wouldn't want to demo with 1,000 Ks on it. Like I've driven demos. Like I sure as hell know what I do to a demo.
It's like, yeah, when my sister was initially looking at the Golf R and she said, oh, there's a demo for sale in Fairfield or something at one of the dealers. And I said,
don't.
And she's like, what do you mean? She's like, it's still under warranty. I'm like, it's under warranty. And she's like, it's only 4,000 Ks. I'm like, that's four of the hardest 1,000 Ks that the car's probably going to have.
It's been running.
Yeah. I was like, I'll take you for a test drive. I'll tell you what people do to the cars. You know, it's not, obviously, again, if it's well looked after still, I don't think it's going to make a massive difference on the overall life of the car. But it's one of those things that you account for when you end up paying less for the demo.
Yeah.
And if you're paying more for the demo, all that's gone out the window.
Yep.
The only way I can see a demo, you know, being the new deposit of a new car exactly is if they throw in a whole bunch of extra stuff for you. And like, I'm like, okay, like you're getting the extra protection, you're getting the mats, you're getting this, you're getting that. You're getting, you know, the lounge chair option if that ever exists. Like you're getting all that, you're getting everything. And I'll be like, okay, well, if it's got 1,000 Ks on there, it's probably been a hard 1,000 Ks, but at least I'm getting everything else. You know, and I'm not having to spend an extra $2,000 or $3,000. I just can't justify when people spend more money than they're worth for a demo. It's just insane.
And then turn around and try to get other people to pay the inflated price as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, there's that thing too. So.
In going through all of this, I'm sure the government was going to allow people to buy an import, one import a year every 12 months to bypass all the dealers and bypass luxury car tax and a whole lot of other things, but it never eventuated.
Yeah, Scottish shop imports, what happened with that?
I haven't heard anything.
I wonder what happens if you buy a car from the UK, for example, right? Like, you know, let's say you're over there and you buy a car and you ship it back and it's like 6 months old. You ship it back. Do you get the warranty? Do you, like, how does that work? Like would it carry over? Because it's still technically not that old. But I guess it would only work if it was sold here, right? Like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it'd become a great import then.
Okay. Mm.
But then you can only bring over ones that we didn't sell. So if we didn't sell it,
for example, if you
then you're not going to get a warranty from, you know, any kind of manufacturer. It was like when the GDR, the R35 GDR and that came out. There was the grey imports. Nissan Australia didn't want anything to do with them. No warranty. They didn't want to touch them. They wouldn't touch them.
Wouldn't service them.
Aussie delivered ones. Yeah, they wouldn't touch them.
They wouldn't even service them. They wouldn't.
Nope. Nah. They didn't want to service it. Nothing. They wouldn't touch them.
Okay. I guess that's the other side of that coin as well,
isn't it? Yeah, you got to kind of find. I mean, if you obviously with the GTRs, it's a little more complicated, but I'm sure you could find, as long as you've got a reliable mechanic who kind of specialize in these kind of vehicles. I think there's somebody in the northern suburbs that kind of does that sort of stuff. No, he's a legit shop, but he does like basically Evos, STIs, and you know, that sort of thing. So I'm sure they could source the parts for you and would have the know-how, which is the most important thing, the know-how of like dealing with this sort of stuff. But it's just, yeah, it's added complexity to something that, you know, you already, usually if you're importing a car for the first time, you're already out of your depth. So those sorts of things are pretty hard to figure out on.
Well, what would be worthwhile is that if you lived in England, London, for 12 months, you bought your car, your personal car, and you bring it back as a private import. So you can buy a 911 over there for I think they're about, they start around, don't quote me exactly on this, like £80,000-£90,000 for the base model. So it's about $160,000-$170,000 odd. Right. You can't buy a 911 here at that base price. Right. So that's where it'd be worthwhile doing it if you're actually over there as a expat working over there and bringing the car back. And that's why you find a lot of the Porsches and the Mercedes in the past that the expats would bring back and drive around, you know, your SECs and your SLs and all the high-end type cars and your 911s, which were imports. And there's a lot around.
Because it's weird how their expensive cars are cheaper to buy there than they are cheaper cars are cheaper here than they are there. It makes no sense to me. Like, that's a whole other kettle of fish.
Taxes.
For this discussion, I think the first car talk top tip is don't pay over sticker. Simple as that. If you can afford to wait it out, wait it out. It's a car at the end of the day. It will come. You can wait it out.
And don't get rid of your car too early. That's just probably one of the other things. If you're out of a car, then they're waiting for you. If you're out of a car and you need a car desperately, they're waiting for you.
Other car talk top tip, don't buy a demo for more than or the same price as a new car.
Don't buy off a scalper.
Yes.
Let them get stuck with it. Let them suffer a bit. Let them squirm.
Let them suffer.
I'm saying, I can't afford to pay everything now.
Can't afford to pay everything now with my two Dark Horse Mustangs.
$240,000 in the hole. All right. Well, that's I think, some good advice. Now, Scotty's got the quiz. Alan, can you stay for the quiz or are you going to go?
I can stay for the quiz.
Sounds good.
If we're ready to roll.
Scotty's doing the quiz tonight.
Looks like Rob's going to have to hit the quiz by himself. Harley's abandoned you.
Yeah, he's abandoned me. You get to take a call. So
now it's finally a fair game, I think.
Unfair game.
I'm still not going to win.
So this one is actually a bit different. So the theme of this one is going to be movies about cars or with cars in them. But the way I've done it is for the first question, I'll give you a question that's worth 3 points. Then I'll say it again with a bit more clues, and that will be worth 2 points.
Oh.
And then the last one with 1 point. So I'm breaking it down. So best you can get for one question is 3 points. And that's going to be obviously the hardest one to get, and it will go down to 1 point where it will be a lot easier for you to guess.
I like it.
Once you have your guess, that's it. You're out of the running. So if you want to go for that 3 points and you're pretty confident...
I like it, Scotty.
All right, now.
Ready to roll?
Welcome to Car Talk After Dark, podcast time with, quiz time, special quiz time, I think, with Mr. Scotty Doe.
I actually like the idea of that. I think that's really cool.
All right, I hope this works all right because I thought I'd stay with a bit of a movie theme, but still got to do with cars because most of the movies is about cars. So I kept it with that. All right, question number one, worth 3 points. This movie was released in 1979.
Just a quick question, Scotty. If we guess during each time, like if we guess during the first round, can we guess for the last two? Do we get reset or are we just...
You know what I will do? I would say if you have a guess for that 3 points and you get it wrong, you can come back in for the 1 point but not the two.
Okay. All right, Alan.
Far away.
Smoking the Bandit.
Nah.
I've got no idea when they came out.
I think it's earlier than that. Yeah. Matt, I want to say the first Gone in 60 Seconds.
Nope.
No clues at all?
That was the clue.
Now, but that's for 3 points. I haven't given you the clue for 2 points yet.
Okay, all right.
So you could hold out for 2 points now or take a punt.
It makes sense that Rob would hold out for 2 points because if he doesn't, we have to move straight to the 1 point.
Yeah, so you can't chime in for this one. So this one's all his. So for 2 points, it was an Australian movie.
Running on Empty.
No, unfortunately. All right, now everyone's back in the game. This is for 1 point. So what we know so far, 1979, Australian movie. This is for 1 point. It stars a 1973 Ford Falcon XB.
Oh.
It's Mad Max.
I was going to guess it before you said it. Anyway. Yeah. It killed
Mad
me.
Mad Max.
Yeah. It killed me.
I didn't think you'd make it so obvious, Scotty.
Well, I guess the way I've kind of done it is the 1 point is pretty easy. Yeah. Gives it away. Maybe I just need to tweak it a little bit more for next time. All right. Question two for 3 points. This movie was released in 1966 and is all about motorsport.
I remember they did a Formula One movie years ago, but I can't remember the name of it. It's a really old, like, super old movie.
I think I'll have to wait for more clues.
Yeah. I'm out for the three.
Likewise.
All right, so we all want to go for 2 points?
Yep.
All right. So the main actor that stars in this movie is James Garner.
I don't know who that is. This isn't helping.
I can visualize some of it, but I just can't remember the name of it.
No, I'm out for this one as well.
I'm not sure if you're going to get it now. All right, for 1 point, it's all about a Formula One driver.
I know it was about Formula One, but and it was James Garner. I can visualize. I just can't remember the name of the movie whatsoever.
Is it about Enzo Ferrari?
No.
Alan? It's totally wrong. I'm just going to say Rush.
Nah. At least you had a guess. Good guess.
Is it called Formula One?
Pardon?
Is it called Formula One?
Nah. Okay. But you're going to kick yourself when you hear it, though.
Be something like On Any Sunday or something like that. But it's, no.
It is called Grand Prix.
Very good.
Yeah, okay.
Makes sense.
Yeah, we suffered that. Yeah. That was bad.
All right, question three. I'll tell you what, if anyone gets this for like the 3 points here, I will give you $50.
Ali, hurry up.
All right, question three for 3 points. At the very end of this movie, the car's number plate in this movie is 2JRI424.
Final car in the movie.
Nothing.
So what? So it must be a movie full of other cars. Was it 2JI4?
2JRI424.
Where's Harley?
That's a 7-letter number plate?
American plate for sure.
Mm.
Does the place say California on it?
It's not out of time, so it can't be back to the jeez. I'm going to say, I was just going to take a risk, the original Fast and Furious.
Oh, well done.
Yes!
It was, yeah.
Yes!
It was.
So, is that $50?
Is that $50, Scott?
Yeah, when I see ya.
Scott's going to do his best to avoid you.
That was good. That was good. I'll just avoid you from now on.
Yeah,
I'll come and hang out. Nah, I'm busy.
Wait, so was that on the Supra? On like he's dropping off in the Supra?
On the Dodge Charger.
Okay, yeah. Cool. Yeah. Oh, sick. Yep. All right, okay.
Well done. You scored yourself 3 points.
Oh, I want to thank.
What a winner! Yay!
I don't care if I win anymore. I just hope you got that point.
All right. Question four. This is a bit of a curveball, I'd call this one. For 3 points, everyone in this movie, so within the movie, not if you're just, you know, production, just part of the movie, this is, if that makes sense.
Yep.
So everyone in the movie, at the end of the movie, in the end scene, they all got Corvettes. Nothing else about the movie, but just in the end scene of this movie.
Cannonball Run.
Pardon?
Cannonball Run.
No. At the end of this movie, everyone got Corvettes, the whole town.
It's not an Oprah Winfrey movie, is it?
Nah.
You get a Corvette.
Yeah, no, I got nothing.
2 points.
For 2 points, the movie stars Adam Sandler.
Elm.
Alum.
See, I'm just going to go with Happy Gilmore.
Nah, not Happy Gilmore, unfortunately.
Is the other one where he's like a billionaire? No.
Matt, I'm going to say, is it... Sorry, give me one second. I'm just trying to remember what the name of the movie was. I just had it in my head.
If you bump out on the second to two-pointer, do you get to come in the one-pointer?
I think you don't. You're out.
What do you think? Would it be fair?
Yeah, all right. Why not?
All right. Why
not? Yeah? All right.
I'm going to say... Oh, what's the name of the movie? Oh, jeez. I'm just trying to read through all these movies in my head, and I had the one I was going to say.
Today, Junior?
It's not that movie.
No, no.
It's not that one. It's not the one with Vanilla Ice either, with the big 5-0. You know the 5-0?
Yeah, the 5-0. That was in That's My Boy. Yeah, I remember. That's that one. But I want to say The Waterboy. I don't know.
Not Waterboy. Are we all ready for the 1 point?
Yep. Yep.
Adam Sandler's character in this movie is called Longfellow Deeds.
Oh, Matthew.
Matthew.
Mr. Deeds?
Yeah, Mr. Deeds. Yeah.
Yeah.
If you remember the meme with the guy, like, yeah, everything looks all right and he's got the crazy guys in the car. Yeah, he's in the Corvette. That's at the end. He gets all that money and he buys everyone a red Corvette and the whole thing.
I have to watch it. I thought I've seen it, but nah, can't remember it.
Is the one where he ends up with $1 billion or no?
In the very long time since.
Yeah. Anyway, next question.
Question 5. This one's for 3 points. This movie stars Rowan Atkinson, John Cleese, Whoopi Goldberg, and many more famous actors. That's just to name a few.
Matthew?
Matthew?
Rat Race?
Yeah. Well done.
Thank you.
I think that's one at this point.
Wow, all right.
Yeah, I saw that not too long ago, actually. That's the only reason why they were...
Oh, that would have helped. I haven't seen it in so long, and when I saw it pop up, I thought, well, maybe no one else has seen that for a while, so I might throw them off with 3 points with just those kind of actors in there, because you'd be like, what? What a weird collection of people.
It's ridiculous, yeah. That movie. It's hilarious.
It is hilarious. Okay.
Can I just give a score check? It's
Oh, shut up. Next question, please.
The winner is...
There's still a chance. You just got to get some 3-pointers and you'll be right back
anybody's
up there.
Game. God, that's still anybody's game.
This question could be all yours. Question 6 for 3 points. It's a TV series that first aired in 1979.
Oh.
Rob?
Knight Rider.
Ooh, not Knight Rider, unfortunately.
Oh,
that was a good guess.
Alum?
The Dukes of Hazzard?
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, well done.
Yes.
Dukes of Hazzard.
3 points to you, Alum.
Knight Rider was probably 80s, wasn't it? 80, early 80s.
Yeah, it might have been pretty close to it, yeah.
Damn Duke boys.
Question 7. We're back to movies again. For 3 points, this movie has a character named Randall Memphis Reigns.
Matthew.
Matthew.
That would be Gone in 60 Seconds.
Wow. All right. Well done. Jeez. You watch your movies, don't you?
I've seen many, and that's probably why I have no friends. No, that's... Continue.
I should have started that. I should have done 3 points where a character's name in there is Sphinx.
Yeah, that's a good one.
Remember the huge, big British dude?
Yeah.
He was awesome in it.
He only spoke at the end of the movie, too.
Yeah, he only spoke at the end and said something, like, really philosophical at the end.
It was like, what?
Yeah. All right, we're getting to the end. Question number 8. For 3 points, this car movie, so picture that, it is a car movie, came out in 2011.
Matthew.
Matthew?
That'd be Need for Speed.
Not Need for Speed.
Yeah, I'm out until the 1 point.
Alum. Alum. I'm going for Cars 2.
Nope.
Damn it.
I'm going to throw it out there. Was it Gone in 60 Seconds?
Nah.
Wasn't that around then?
That was a bit earlier. I think it was 10 years earlier.
Was it
20-something years old, that movie?
You're kidding.
Yeah.
All right. Everyone's back in for the 2-pointer.
Okay.
There's no point having everyone out and just go for the 1 point. So let's all go for the 2 point. This movie stars Ryan Gosling.
Oh. Hello. Drive.
Well done.
Yes. Yep. Drive. Correct.
I knew you were going to take that.
Going, it's easy. Like, right, like that. It's
I've never heard anyone say their name so loud. All right. Question number 9 for 3 points. This movie came out in 1991 and stars a 66 Ford Thunderbird.
Matthew? Thelma and Louise?
Oh, my goodness. You're a freak.
Well, if it would have been in the late 90s, it would have been Flubbo, because that's when he had a hero Red Thunderbird. That was in that.
Spoiler alert, ladies and gentlemen, I don't think it's anyone's game anymore.
Not unless I go, like, instead of 3 points, this first one's worth like 20 points. But, you know, let's try and stop Maddie getting more points.
All right. Go on. Right.
Question number 10 for 3 points. It stars Coors Beer as the main focus of the movie.
Jeez. Alan.
Alan?
Campbell?
Nah, not Campbell.
You said Campbell?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. No. Matthew?
Matthew?
It's not Days of Thunder, is it?
No, not Days of Thunder.
Rob, Smoking and Bandit.
Yes. So was that? Oh, damn it.
Yeah, spot on. You got the 3.
Nice one on the final. Was that the final question?
That was it. That's
nice work, Rob.
Question 10. Well Scorch. Done for stopping Maddie.
Gotcha. Oh, yeah, well, Rob wins now because he's on 20.
Yeah, that was worth 20 points.
I'll pay it. I will agree to that.
Rob on 3, Alan on 5, myself on, I don't want to brag, but a lot. So I would just leave.
He's got 14. He's got 14. But if we're playing realistically, he'd only have, 6?
Yeah, I'll stop. Yeah.
Maddie the movie mogul.
good stuff. That was a really cool concept. I think we should definitely do that again, because that brings the questions, you know, breaks it up a little bit, gives everybody a bit more of a chance. That's cool.
Good stuff.
Let's finish on with some plugs. For our main Rizzy Ross.
Check out our friend, Mr. Rizzy Ross Actor on carloop.com.au. He's basically the man to know about the electric space, and he's also the man to know about sales prices of new cars.
Rob Sumbrication Electricals, always doing the great work, even though you're doing a million of your cars currently. I actually had a listener of the show message me and said, hey, does the guy that picks Russ, does he do other people's cars? So it's getting out there, Rob.
Hey, I've taken up landscaping too, if you want.
Okay, Rob's landscaping as well. So
yeah, I got a new house, come round.
But stump grinder, got rid of all the tree roots, lay down storm water pipes, done it all.
Rob's landscaping, you heard it here first.
Mm-hmm.
Like and share our Facebook pages, Car Talk TORQ. Many J for missing our previous episodes. They're all up on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your RSS feed or podcasting app.
Coming up slowly on the YouTube. We've got one episode up so far.
Oh, man.
Hey, it's harder than it looks. There's a lot of rendering time, but it's coming. It's coming.
Would be.
If you want to check out our merch, go to our Teespring store, go to teespring.com and type in Car Talk store, and you can support the show there or become a patron to our patron. Hi to our patrons online, go to patreon.com/Car Talk Podcast. Scotty's got tip of the week before we end up and we finish the show.
Yeah. Play it safe.
Mm.
Don't go for those risks, because you'll end up scoring a lot higher. If you think and go between those trees, don't take that risk. Chip it onto the fairway and then go guaranteed, it'll lower your scores.
You'll go for par. You heard it here first, guys. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming on the show, and I'll see you next time. Take it easy.
Catch you later.
See ya.
Cool. Bye.